Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World with me, your host, John Jordan. And joining us this week to discuss the merry and always exciting world of blockchain games is James from BlockchainGaming.biz. Hi, James. Hi, you all right?
Yeah, all good. Good as ever.
There we go. Haven't had a hand clap sound effect for a while. Let's throw one of those in. Good. So, this week, we were kind of discussing kind of what the news was. There's always lots of news, but it's sometimes good to have more of a kind of a theme to what's going on in the news. And there was one big bit of news and then some kind of other kind of more trend stuff to talk about. So I thought kind of we'd start off with that. And the big news is that Ripple are going gaming to some degree. So do you want to explain what Ripple are up to?
Yeah, so, I mean, from speaking to a couple of people that have been a bit more savvy to this than I have, they've been in collaboration, particularly this is down to their growth lab, Xspring, who's been working with the Forte Labs team for a little bit of time. So we've had them helping with a number of the projects that are going to be seen as viable initiatives that the funding project will be looking into. So they've been collaborating with them for a number of months and have finally come forward with this. And the underlying concept behind it is that they're going after things that demonstrate a real immediate use case. So I don't know if you'd seen the criteria that they're kind of looking for in like blockchain game IPs.
It's interesting. So I guess there's two parts of it. There's Ripple, and there's obviously Ripple is there's always plenty of controversy in blockchain crypto kind of space. Ripple is one seems to be that everyone kind of hates because there's Ripple and then there's the token and they're not really connected and yada yada yada. I'm not going to that if I even understand it, but they've obviously got a bunch of money and they're kind of have an organization, but they've kind of done a deal with this new blockchain game startup called Forte. And again, Forte had previously announced them, I guess, about a couple of weeks ago that they were just a company. It's interesting. So some of the guys involved in there, notably Kevin Chow, who was the CEO of Kabam, who were really big, originally a big free-to-play PC browser company out of Japan, China, sorry, and then went heavily into mobile free-to-play and then a couple of years ago sold. So they basically split themselves up, but they basically sold for about getting on for $1 billion. The various parts of that company are best known for the they got a big Marvel game, a few others as well. But so he's kind of a well-known entrepreneur. He's been doing esports stuff. He's obviously kind of wealthy. He's actually involved in one of the Overwatch League teams. So he's kind of still embedded in gaming, and he's put together like this new team, and they're focused on blockchain. It's not really clear exactly what they're doing, to be honest. They're quite, at the moment at least, quite fuzzy about kind of their I don't think they're making games. They're kind of partly platform, partly helping kind of teams get to blockchain. I guess that kind of strategy will, maybe they don't know at the moment, that strategy will become clearer as time goes on. But anyway, these two companies have come together with this $100 million fund. Seems to be $100 million is the amount of money you need to do a fund these days.
It is, yeah. A lot of cash on the line for these IPs.
It's just funny because obviously we have the Tron, the $100 million fund, which no one seems to know, have any idea what's going on with that. We could say that's a typical Tron thing. Now, how much money is Justin Sun giving away? No, he's giving away a Tesla and how much was it?
It's $20 million.
$20 million. It's kind of like... Well, anyway, let's not go into that one. So there's a lot of these funds launching with a lot of money. Quite how that money is presented, I don't know. I think certainly in the case of Tron, it seems to be there. It's in their tokens, and it seems to be in this Ripple one. It may be some hard funding, some real dollars, but equally, it seems to be a bunch of it will be Ripple tokens, which are kind of soft money in a sense, aren't they? But yeah, as you say, sorry. What's interesting is they're not looking for like crypto games companies who are, if you've got a good idea, they're looking for existing games with. I think it said hundreds of millions of users, didn't it? So certainly tens of millions of users. Anyway.
No, I was just going to say that I think it's, for the most part, it's the Forte sort of Ripple fund that is being made here. It's certainly got a little bit more of a like substantial understanding of what they expect from those that will end up getting a sort of injection either of capital or of their advice and tools. It's largely because we've seen a bit more of a metric for understanding what they're looking for. So on average, they're looking for those with a active user base of roughly about 50,000 already. So they are really having their eyes set on those that have already demonstrated a good amount of survivability within the space, which makes a lot of sense for this beginning point in 2019. !=
The thing I don't understand it, the thing I don't understand about it is obviously money kind of catches headlines, and if you've got money, you can kind of do a bunch of stuff. But but what they seem to be suggesting was, you know, the projects they would be looking to do is existing games that they can move across to Ripple and using the kind of RXP token as a payment method. So it seems obviously Ripple is the reason, whole point of Ripple is it's supposed to be like a replacement of global kind of banking system. That's kind of the thing it's had. Obviously, if you have a payment system, you can then integrate that into other things like games or you know, e-commerce or whatever. You know, all online products need a payment system. So I don't quite know how much of it is just like make a good game and you know, use Ripple as a kind of token as a payment system, or whether it's they're building out like a more complicated blockchain kind of stack, a tool stack with all the dev tools you need. You know, cause that takes time to do. I don't know whether Ripple have that or. So it's one of these kind of headlines that the more you unpick it, the more I kind of think I'm really not quite sure what they've announced. And because Forte haven't really announced what they're doing, it's more kind of uncertainty. So having said that, the people behind Forte are like a proper solid games guy. So I've no doubt that they know what they're up to. I just don't think they're either ready to go public with it or quite know yet. But as you say, the most interesting thing is they're not looking for a crypto game with 1,000 users. They're looking for games with already have a lot of users. And I guess a lot of us have argued in the space that the big thing for blockchain games in 2019 is to get scale. And to do that, you know, it's in a sense easier to import scale from existing products than try and build scale from the bottom up. So anyway, so that was kind of, I guess, the big news of the week, which is news that we'll have to kind of follow to see quite where it pans out. And the other thing, you know, even if they start signing up games now, To do all that integration will probably take another 6 months. So it's going to be like, you know, the earliest we'd see anything, I'd imagine, would be the end of 2019. So it's a kind of long way off. But a few other bits of news that weren't necessarily kind of very blockchain game related, but I kind of thought they were interesting. So so we had the Cosmos mainnet going live. Do you know anything about Cosmos?
Yeah, the Cosmos network. So they're apparently really trying to like push themselves out there as, I think what their CEO and founder, they professed that they wanted to become the decentralized internet of dApps. So when he says that, he refers to the kind of almost siloed experience that dApp developers unusually have when it comes to the creation of their decentralized apps. So he wants to create a system that allows them to work in an interoperable fashion, but allows them to have and benefit from a lot more of the ease of use by, I think it was compiling layer 2 payment solutions along with something else to make it so that way the process of actually creating a dApp is a lot more streamlined and helped and backed up by Tendermint. So it avoids a lot of the issues that come with Ethereum scalability and transaction costs.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I have no idea what they're going on about here. So look at the website now. It says, you know, that the most customizable ecosystem, the most powerful ecosystem of connected blockchain. So, you know, are they saying, I don't think they are saying this, but are they going to saying that they're going to act as a bridge between all the other blockchains that are out there? I don't think that's the case, is it? I mean, they kind of have, you know, Tendermint is their underlying consensus protocol, and then you build on top of that. So they're not really a bridging software in that sense. They're just another blockchain that's kind of marketing itself as this kind of connected blockchain. You know, so they're just saying you can, instead of having one kind of monolithic blockchain as we have with Bitcoin and Ethereum, basically everyone can build their own blockchains using this Cosmos, using this Tendermint consensus, and they all kind of link to each other. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't think these guys are particularly focused on games, although games obviously are a part of it. We're going to find out. Hopefully, we're going to chat to them at some point next week to get a better idea about exactly what their plans are. But then similarly, I mean, fairly recently, I spoke to the CEO of I don't know if it's IOST or Ost or however you pronounce it, I don't know, but a Chinese blockchain, very much positioning itself as the kind of the fourth blockchain, or not, because only just mainnet's only gone fairly live fairly recently, but trying to position itself as the next one after Ethereum, EOS, and Tron. I guess we have kind of Cocos doing it, very much more focused on games. We have the Kin mainnet, just went live fairly recently, so Kin is the kind of blockchain from Social Network Kick. So they're doing their thing. And then I was just like having a quick look down of all the other kind of blockchains that basically, I mean, I'm sure there's loads more out there, but kind of that fit into this sort of thing. And there's obviously NEO out of China. There's Cardano, which is still in kind of early stages. Autology, Waves, obviously been going for a while now, kind of pivoting around games. Mono, Zilliqa, I mean, there's loads more. So there's just loads of these ones. And then there's the kind of game-centric ones that we can only do games on. I guess kind of Zaya is the best known of those, but also Autonomy and Halo. So suddenly we've got this list of, you know, we kind of thought we had mainly Ethereum and maybe, you know, EOS, and we'll see what happens with Tron. But now we've got like another dozen. And this is before we get into stuff like Polkadot, which I have no idea about at all. Or you know, there's these other kind of very high-end ones that are a few years off maybe.
There's certainly, when it comes to these kind of blockchain solutions and where they stand within the marketplace, we're going to see a wheat in the chaff sort of situation here where developers and third parties are going to start making use of some of these ones and going after those that can actually deliver the results. And we've seen a lot of these solutions within the gaming sort of space, so much so that they have such a vague sort of aspiration or set of goals that they want to put out for the ecosystem that's all we can kind of refer to them as a platform or an ecosystem, because there's so many words but so little in the way that we have to say about their actions.
Yeah, and I do kind of think we are coming quite quickly to a kind of a crunch point with a lot of these people have raised kind of money a couple of years ago when all this stuff was hot, and a lot of institutions were worried they were not going to, you know, they were gonna miss out. But even I think the interesting thing, and everyone always forgets this about tech, is, you know, the best tech doesn't always win. So it's, obviously you need good tech. I don't think you can win with rubbish tech, but always assume, well, it's technology, the best one will always win. And it's like, not necessarily. It's like you need to be good enough, and you need to have, you know, certainly when you're talking to on the game side, but even talking to any, you know, developer ecosystem, you need to get developers on board, and you need to have really easy tools for them to use. That's probably the most important thing for the devs, is to have easy tools for them to use. And then you have to be maybe a bit lucky and get like one of your early games kind of be a hit, because then once something's been a success, then everyone goes, you know, it's back in the day when you have like, you know, the first big Unity game was like suddenly, oh, everyone's, you know, no one really maybe trusted Unity very much, or was seen as not as good as Unreal. And then you have a couple of big games on Unity. And then it becomes a kind of the fashion that, you know, oh, we'll use that. And I mean, I can't see why it's not going to happen with blockchains. I think there's going to be a really strong, not quite winner takes all, but it's going to boil down to like half a dozen very quickly. And it's interesting, obviously, a bunch of these ones are coming out of China. So, you know, those kind of, just by their general nature, they're not going to appeal to Western developers, I don't think, in the same way, because they're probably their documentation won't be as good. So it is kind of interesting. 2019, I think, will be interesting for these kind of scenarios. And then I do kind of think there is this other further down the line thing where a big disruption could come in. So at the moment, we've gone through kind of proof of work, kind of blockchains. We know all the problems with them scaling and block times and all that kind of stuff. So now we're all delegated proof of stake or versions of that sort of thing. That's kind of nice. You do your staking, you work out your consensus, although people obviously have lots of issues with that kind of thing at the moment, trying to deal with that kind of thing with EOS in particular. But then you might have something really quite radical comes in, like, you know, like something like Polkadot, or maybe even something, maybe Cosmos is that kind of, you know, kind of radical kind of change. And in fact, all the other stuff will just, everyone will just come off those platforms very quickly. And then just move over to this new thing. And talking to some blockchain game developers, you know, they're kind of like, I don't really care about what blockchain I use. You know, it doesn't fuss me at all. You know, if Facebook come in with something, I'm all up for that. So you have this other disruption. It may not really be about these kind of bottom up kind of techie guys building their blockchain. It may just be some large trusted corporation that can go, well, you know, here's our blockchain, use that. You don't need to sign anyone up. We've got 2 billion users already. I think it is, from that point of view, it is really interesting. And from that point of view, like $100 million doesn't really make any odds at all. If you think about it, if Facebook came up with a blockchain, then just everyone would use that, wouldn't they? I mean, it didn't matter if someone else had got $100 million. Like, yeah, whatever. They've got 2 billion users.
Yeah. I mean, it does make me honestly wonder about, I mean, just how open would the blockchain game developer world be to something that was a bit more of a centralized third-party system, like a blockchain as a service system? Because we've seen a bunch of those ones crop up more recently. You've got the big three contenders within the tech world that are like making their way towards this sort of solution. But as you said, it's definitely not a case of just creating what is quote unquote the best blockchain solution for this. It's about being able to tick off a number of boxes along the way. So making sure that it's a sure hitter. And rather than it just being one home run, it's got to be a grand slam of things that take place. And the application and the way in which these games utilize blockchain within their game, from experience to the dynamics of tokens, makes a world of difference. And we've got a couple of companies out there that are really experimenting with that notion. And there have been a few that we've spoken to where they've been on one chain or used a particularly out there chain. I know one that makes use of Bitcoin SV. We've got another like couple that are making use of multiple chains, and the logistics of that are a little bit confusing to us as well. But this is one of those ways in which we're going to see the real use cases come out and how on earth they're able to do it and what kind of blockchain solutions they use.
There even seems to be a bit of resurgence of Bitcoin. I know there's a couple of games using Lightning, aren't there, as a kind of payment method, and you're kind of like, goodness me. I mean, they're it's a very Bitcoin sort of thing. They're very niche games. But I do think that will be interesting to see is, I think, as you say, we'll have these big almost kind of like, you know, enterprise or corporate blockchains, which may be, you know, a certain version of decentralized, which isn't fully distributed ledger as foreseen by Satoshi. But I do think that it'll be interesting to see if there is enough niche for some of these more game specific ones. So I guess kind of the Zayas, the Autonomies and the Halos, which are coming at it from a very different kind of perspective. It's really not about usability. It really is about being a pretty hardcore PC kind of gamer. And I wonder if some of those can survive because there is that kind of PC kind of community is very different, and they kind of like their the ability of, you know, building their own rigs and no one can tell them what to do, and it's all, you know, the whole kind of openness of the PC. And those kind of guys, you know, it doesn't appeal to them to be, well, Facebook's got a blockchain, or, you know, Twitter's got a blockchain, or, you know, whoever. They'll still like that kind of indie-ness thing. And there is kind of quite a strong, there's always been a strong element of that in the PC game space. So it'll be interesting to see whether any of those guys can kind of carve out something. Because again, that also then kind of follows through to this, I guess, one of the visions of blockchain gaming, which you could run an MMO on a blockchain. It's always on, can't be switched off. And that kind of stuff is so hard to do that everyone's moved away from it and just kind of said, we're going to do item ownership on Ethereum. I mean, it's kind of, or whatever blockchain you're using, but that's kind of where we are at the moment. But in 5 years' time, you know, building a EVE Online with its own blockchain, and it, you know, I mean, that would be the big goal. So I think those two things can run in parallel, but I think that the big users and the big bucks go with the more, oh, Facebook's got a blockchain or what can we run? A game that's going to have a million users, you know, where's that going to sit best? Anyway, a lot of kind of speculation, ill-informed speculation from my part this week. Good. Anything else to add, James?
Not really. I mean, the one thing I would have to say is that we are in the last couple of days of our exclusive sort of giveaway on blockchaingamer.biz for, alongside Mythical Games and their reveal of Blanco's Block Party at South by Southwest. So in light of that, we're giving away 5 exclusive packs, which were actually developed and like published by the team, which are literal physical like copies of the cards and booster packs, almost like Pokemon. And we've got 5 of those to give away. Each of them consists of 5 very exclusive Blancos, which are only going to be available at South by Southwest. So only attendees of the event and participants within this giveaway will be able to get a hold of those ones. But for more information on that one, you can all visit www.blockchaingamer.biz, look for Mythical Games, and there'll be more information on that one too. And anybody's really open to jump in on that one.
Yeah, no, Mythical Games and Blancos is something we've spoken about before in the podcast, and no doubt probably what we talk about next week, I would think. That'll be the big, I don't think it's a massive reveal, is it? But I think they're showing their first gameplay kind of stuff and a bit more information about some of the content partners they're working with, which I think will be pretty interesting from what I've heard. That's going to be pretty big, but good thing to point out. So lovely, thank you very much for your time, James.
It was always a pleasure.
And thank you, listeners, for listening. Don't forget, you can always, if you want the video version, we have that over on Blockchain Gaming World on YouTube. But thanks for listening to this one. Come back next week and find out what's going on in the world of blockchain games.